So if you've been with us through the month of January, you know that we are kicking off today a series of messages on the book of Proverbs. I'm so excited about this. Last week we introduced the beginning of Proverbs and why the book of Proverbs, and the theme of this whole series is that we are to train to live on mission. Train to live on mission. And so we use 2 Timothy chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 to establish a very common metaphor in the Bible, which is the metaphor of a soldier, and that we are to be good soldiers of Jesus Christ. And so I was a soldier once when I was young, and I was able to train myself with a lot of help from a lot of good people to be a soldier. And the number one thing that we learn from 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 4, about why Paul uses the soldier imagery is because of the loyalty and the allegiance to a commander. That in the same way that Jesus praised the centurion for understanding authority, for being under authority, Paul then commands us to understand what it is to be under authority, to live as one who lives in allegiance to or is loyal to God. And Jesus modeled that for us. He modeled for us what it was like to be loyal to God, to accomplish the mission, to live for the pleasure of his Father. And so we are now going to dive into the book of Proverbs. If you need some of that foundational teaching, please know that on our church webpage, on the blog, are all four of those manuscripts, all four of those sermons. You can read them, just like Kevin alluded to. You can also go back and watch any sermon and get caught up on where we've been, because that's about, a lot of teaching, about 2.5 to 3 hours of teaching to head into today. So I can't recap all that for you if you're just stepping in today, but please know there is a solid biblical foundation for the soldier imagery and why we're using Proverbs to learn what are the battle drills, what are those things that we need to make instinctive, that we need to make reflexive, that we need to make habitual within ourselves, so that when situations arise, we can be focused, so that we can remain on mission. And so for a sermon series called Train to Live on Mission today we're jumping into the first battle drill of the training routine of a soldier of Jesus. And the first step, there's four action steps that we have learned that make up the training routine of a good soldier. And the first action step is to know the field manual. Okay? You have to know the manual by which you are to conduct the operation, by which you are to live your life on mission. And we laid that foundation that the Bible is the field manual. This is where you learn the doctrine. This is where you learn how to live your life for God. So as a good soldier of Jesus, the first action step is know your manual, okay? Now the battle drill we're going to learn today and that we're going to apply throughout this week is Proverbs 1:15. Proverbs 1:15. So we're going to be walking through the book of Proverbs all year. Here it is, Proverbs 1 verse 15. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil and they hasten to shed blood. Okay, that's Proverbs 1:15 and 16. Now let me give you the context. Last week we covered Proverbs 1:1-7. We understand the purpose of Proverbs, and I'll allude back to that as I go today, but I want you to hear the context of these verses. So we're going to read Proverbs chapter 1, verses 8 through 19. My goal is by the end of the year, for you have heard the entire book of Proverbs, for you have looked at every verse. Now, we're not going to be able to study every verse. It would take me probably 3 years. Maybe 2 to 3, probably from the front, probably 3 years for me to actually take you verse by verse to the book of Proverbs. There's that much here. So we're going to do it in one, which is fast and furious. And that means we're going to cover large groups of the scripture, but focus in on specific points. Does that make sense? So if you really want to mine the depths of Proverbs, I'm going to encourage you to read the blog, to watch the sermon, and to do some studying on your own in the book of Proverbs. So much good material in the book of Proverbs. Here we go. Proverbs 1:8-19. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. And most of the parents are like, can we just stop there? Can we just like get our kids to understand that one? I'm with you. Verse 9. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol. Sheol is the Old Testament word for the place of the dead, like Hades and for the Greek culture. So Sheol, the place of the dead. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, the grave, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. And then our theme verse, our battle drill verse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path. For their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lay in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. Lord, your word is eternal and everlasting. We thank you for the book of Proverbs, this ancient book of wisdom, nearly 3,000 years old. We thank you that your word never goes out of style, that its promises and its truths never fade. So help us, Lord God, to establish our lives and live according to the wisdom that you have given us. In Jesus' name, amen. Every good soldier of Jesus Christ must learn that if you want to maintain your life, then you must follow the first battle drill. Just as we saw in Proverbs 1:8-19, which we just read, and I'm not making this up, this is right here. There are forces of evil who seek to entice you away from the wisdom of God. There are active systems and structures of evil in our world that are actively, proactively trying to entice us from living according to the wisdom of God in his ways. Proverbs 1:10 directs, "My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent." Did you hear that? If sinners entice you, what are we supposed to do? Do not consent. Do not give allowance for. Do not give that permission in your life. It's that easy. It's simple. It doesn't mean it doesn't come without a lot of training, though, for you to be able to execute this battle drill. My desire is to train this into you so that it's habitual, so it's instinctive. So that's reflexive. You don't even have to think. You don't need to have a committee meeting about what you do with this enticement. Family meeting. What do we do about this? No, you just know what to do. It's your response. That's what a battle drill is. You train the fundamentals of what it means to be a good soldier into you so that it's reflexive, so that it's instinctive, so it's habitual, so that you know what to do according to the Word of God when it happens and you don't have to think about it because you've prayed about it, you've studied it, you've read it, you know. You know that you know. It's like last year when we studied the promises of God as the playbook for a championship team. You train as a good athlete and with your team so that under pressure in the Super Bowl game, you execute. You execute in the red zone when there's 10 seconds left so you can win the game. It's the same thing with a soldier. When you're under pressure and the enemy is attacking, then you execute so that you yourself are victorious. There are thieves who seek to rob you of your life by getting you to throw in your lot with them. That's right here. trying to get you to throw in your lot with them and believe their counterfeit promises about how to have a happier and more fulfilling life. Seducing you. It's a very important understanding. Trying to get you to throw your lot in with them. Trying to seduce you according to their promises. Here's all the things I can provide for you to have a happier, fulfilling life than what you're currently doing. Trying to get you to walk away from the fundamentals of your faith and the reward that God has for you for your faithfulness. And that's why so much of this imagery about being a good soldier of Jesus is living for the reward of your commander, who is Jesus, waiting to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," realizing that we've got to wait for the reward of the one who's enlisted us. That's 2 Timothy 2:4. This is the warning of Proverbs 1:19, our scripture for today. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. That life takes away the life of its possessors. Jesus Christ affirmed this by teaching his followers in John chapter 10, verses 10 to 12, when Jesus described himself as the good shepherd, and he said that there are those who come like thieves. Jesus said, "The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me." Jesus has a way for us to live that leads to life and abundance. But there are those who will come like thieves and try to seduce you away, promising you that they're wolves. And we must listen to the voice of the good shepherd. Now, just like sheep cannot be left alone because, let's be honest, sheep are dumb animals. Okay? Sheep will follow their animal instincts to their own destruction. That's why they need a good shepherd. In the same way, God, the good shepherd, gathers us together as his one people under his rightful rule because he has a better way for us. It's the abundant life. We are like sheep. We need a good shepherd. And in the imagery of a good soldier, Jesus is not just the good shepherd, he is our commander. He is the one who has called us to allegiance. He is the one enlisted us into his mission, and he is the one we are to seek. And that takes us to action step number two. So action step number one, know the field manual. And we're going to do this every week through the book of Proverbs. You're going to look at the scripture. What is the scripture? Okay, today it's Proverbs 1, 8 to 19. Second step, train together as one unit. The thing about a battle drill that's important to realize is it's not just you training this battle drill into you so that it's instinctive, habitual, and reflexive, so that you live by the fundamentals of your faith. It's also a unit exercise so that we work together. The church is the body of Christ. We are the one body of Christ. In maturity is us looking like one person. So we train according to the same battle drills, but we learn to do it together. So to master today's battle drill, we must remember last week's mother battle drill. That's just a term I came up with. That's not military jargon. We don't call anything a mother battle drill. But I had to figure out, what is this, like, axiomatic principle? You know, and that seems awfully confusing, too. Who says axiomatic principle, right? Except for people like me who like words like that. So here is the mother battle drill that we learned from Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. Ready? If you weren't here, submit. Give your total allegiance to God. When it is the Father's good pleasure for you to do this, you do it. You don't second guess it. You don't have a committee meeting about it. You don't hem and haw. You do it. Because Jesus is the commander who has enlisted us by the Father's good pleasure. So, we learned this both from the foundational teachings on 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4, and from our introduction of Proverbs 1, 1 through 7. You probably know this verse, Proverbs 1, 7. Proverbs 1, verse 7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom instruction. The beginning of the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. In some translations, the beginning of wisdom. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. There can be no proper, and I want you to hear me real quick. I'm not going to recap the last 4 weeks of teaching. I'm just going to summarize real quick. There can be no proper response to any situation in your life if you're not first submitted to God and working according to His plan. And I'm going to be very direct here. If you're a fool, because the Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. If you're a fool and are unwilling to heed wisdom and instruction, then you're like the wandering sheep who's going to follow his animal instincts unto his destruction. You're going to do what is right in your own eyes, as we read in the book of Judges. Or as Proverbs, let's listen to Proverbs 1, 15 to 19 again, because I think Solomon's making it very clear here. I mean, let's just go back to our own scripture for today. Let's listen to these about these people. The Bible says, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence." The birds are smarter than these fools. That's what the Bible's saying. The birds are smarter. You cannot, what does it say here in verse 17? It's verse 17, 18. There's a contrast. "Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird." In other words, don't be an idiot. Don't like right in front of the birds, put down your net and bait them. They're going to see what you're doing and they're going to know better. Don't be like that, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. The birds are even smarter than these people are living according to their own animal instincts. That's why the mother battle drill, the axiomatic principle, is submit to God. He knows what's best for you. He is a good father. He is a good shepherd. He is a good commander. He takes care of his own. He has a mission, and that mission will bring abundance. Or you can go and live your life the way you want to, and you're ambushing your own life. You're destroying your own life. So when I was a cadet at West Point, we had what's called cadet basic training. We had cadet field training. And in those training schools, I was taught the fundamentals of being a soldier, what we call battle drills. Okay? I've introduced this to you. Now, after I graduated West Point, I was a brand new second lieutenant in the U.S. Army. I went to the Infantry Officer Basic Course at Fort Benning, Georgia, and I was taught how to train soldiers to work as a unit to execute the fundamentals of being a soldier. And we had to learn how to do that in such a way that they could execute those things without a deliberate decision-making process, so that we could execute upon contact with the enemy. You train this into your people to such a point that when direct fire or indirect fire or ambush or whatever happens, you know what to do. You've trained it. You know what to do. Upon the first sound of incoming, you know exactly what you're supposed to do. It's a battle drill. It's called react to contact. Okay? Now, when I went to Ranger School, they did everything possible to make your life miserable, sleep deprivation, food, drink, everything, to try to get you stressed to the max. So that, why? they wanted to make this training that we learned in the infantry officer basic course that you learn in basic training and in your field training, they want you now to be able to execute this while you're sleep deprived, while you're hungry, while you're stressed to the max, so that it's so habitual, so instinctive, so reflexive, that even when you're under great amounts of personal stress, you still react this way. No matter how tired you are, no matter how broken you are, no matter how frustrated you are, when whatever happened in your life that you're under this amount of stress, schools like Ranger School, their whole purpose is so that you can execute the mission under the worst of conditions. And I was never in combat by God's grace, but when I talk to those who have been, they say that even those trainings, while they prepare them, are nothing compared to the real thing. So they make these schools really difficult to try to prepare people for when they actually make enemy contact. And brothers and sisters, you're making enemy contact every day. There is direct fire coming against you every single day. You're out in this world trying to live on mission. And I'm not going to sleep deprive you. I'm not going to deny you of food and water and all the things you need. But I need you to know that we need to train ourselves so that when we do come under enemy attack, that we can resist the enemy to live on mission for God. Because we get so easily distracted and taken out. The soldiers of Jesus Christ have an enemy, the devil. James 4, verse 7. Here's three verses. James 4, verse 7. Submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. There it is. There's the battle drill. Submit therefore to God. That's the mother battle drill. Right? That no matter what, I'm going to do 40 battle drills with you this year, Lord willing. That's the plan. You know, the best laid plans of mice and men. But of all the battle drills, there's one mother battle drill that's going to always be the first thing you have to do. You have to know the mother battle. Submit, therefore, to God. Today's battle drill, resist the enemy. And what's the promise? He will flee. And we're going to learn how to do that. Second scripture, 1 Peter 5. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 to 9. Be of sober spirit. That means be alert. Do not be intoxicated by anything. Yes, that can be alcohol or drugs, but it can also be with a lot of those other things the thief comes to seduce you with. There's a lot of things you can be intoxicated by that aren't the traditional, like, alcohol, drugs type stuff. In other words, don't be distracted. Submit, therefore, to God. Be on mission. Be of sober spirit. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. But resist him. Firm in your faith. There's the submit, therefore, to God. Firm in your faith. Resist him, knowing that the same experiences of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world. So you're not alone. This is not Newcastle specific. This is not China specific. This is not North Korea specific. This is not South America specific. This is the church global. And we need to be in solidarity with our brothers and sisters throughout the world, because they are not our enemy. There's only one enemy. Who is he? Look around this congregation. No one in this room is your enemy. No other congregation or church is your enemy. There's only one enemy. That's the devil. And I've said that every week, and I will probably keep saying it, because if we can get that point, there's so much more we can do together than we can do apart. Ephesians 6, verses 11 to 12, the third scripture. Put on the full armor of God so that you'll be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. I'm not making this stuff up. This is scripture. This is God's word. You need to believe the worldview of the Bible. There is an enemy. He is the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Now, please press in with me here. Good soldiers of Jesus Christ don't just remain hunkered down, returning fire. They are to seek the commander's approval by carrying on the mission. And I'm going to clarify that. Please hear me. And for our veterans and for those who maybe have worked as first responders, they know this is true. It's great not to be taken out of the battle. But staying alive is not the mission. And that sounds, in some situations, from talking to people who have been in horrendous situations that no person should ever be in, staying alive very much becomes the momentary mission. But staying alive as a good soldier of Jesus Christ is not the mission. Pleasing the Father and doing His will is the whole point that you've been enlisted. And I think sometimes there's so many books written out there and there's so much conversation that sometimes we think just staying alive is the whole point. Staying alive is not the mission, friends. Staying on mission is the mission. Accomplishing the mission is the mission. Let me give you an example. So I was in the 82nd Airborne Division. I was a platoon leader in the 2nd Battalion of the 505th Parachute Infantry Regiment. We were a rapid deployment unit. Jumping out of airplanes was how we got to work. It wasn't the mission. It's how we got to work. But we had to train to execute a variety of airborne operations under different circumstances, nighttime, daytime, et cetera, so that we could get to work safely. So we could do the job we were being delivered behind enemy lines to execute. Our job was to arrive safely to fulfill the commander's plan for sending us there in the first place. And the same is true with you surviving an enemy attack. When you receive direct contact from the enemy and you're under fire, you must survive. But you surviving the enemy's attack is just a battle drill so you can carry on the mission, so you can Charlie Mike, continue mission. And I think sometimes in the church, we make spiritual warfare out as the mission, when we just need to understand spiritual warfare so that we can be victorious and carry on the mission. Resisting the enemy allows you to continue the mission. Resisting the enemy is not the mission itself. It's so you can carry on the mission. But you must train your mind and heart in such a way so that you can do that. So that it's reflexive, so that it's instinctive, so it's habitual. You need to have great confidence in the Lord's victory and great confidence in the tools He's given you so that you can survive. Does that make sense? That takes us to the third action step. The third action step of a good soldier of Jesus Christ is you got to know the field manual, you got to know what unit you're a part of, you're a part of the Church of Jesus Christ, the one body of Christ, and you've got to now seek the commander's approval. We have to seek the commander's approval. That's the third action step. Seek the commander's approval. A good soldier of Jesus Christ seeks the commander's approval by doing what is asked of him or her in every situation. Listen to our theme verse for the year, 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 4. Suffer hardship with me. So 2 Timothy 2, verses 3 to 4 is the theme verses for this whole series. Suffer hardship with me. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. That's our theme verse. Now, an interesting detail about the wisdom literature, since we're doing a study on the book of Proverbs. So the wisdom literature, you got the book of Job, you got the book of Psalms and Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Songs, otherwise known as Song of Solomon. Now, King David wrote much of the Psalms, 150 Psalms. Some others contributed, of course. King Solomon is many people believe, wrote Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, and Song of Solomon. With that understanding, both David and Solomon began their works, both Psalm 1 and Proverbs 1, with a similar understanding of wisdom. And I want to point this out to you. So Proverbs 1:15, today's battle drill, stresses the fear of the Lord as a fidelity or faithfulness to God's commands as contrasted with the ways of the wicked. Okay, so Proverbs 1 very clearly in those first seven verses says that if you want to be wise, if you want to have knowledge, then you need to have fear of the Lord and you need to follow his ways. And then immediately what we're talking about today says there's many who are going to come and try to entice you away from following the ways of the Lord. And if you do that, then you're more foolish than a bird. You're like a sheep who is following its animal instincts to destruction. You're ambushing your own life. What's interesting is King David, Solomon's father, started Psalms very similar to the way Solomon starts Proverbs. So listen to Psalm 1. I'm not going to teach you Psalm 1. I just want you to hear it because it's very obvious. So Psalm chapter 1. It's only six verses. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked. Right out of the gate. I mean, you know, you talk about a start at a 100-meter dash. Whoever gets out of the blocks fastest is going to be who wins, right? So I think possibly King David was quicker out of the blocks than even his son Solomon here. How blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law he meditates day and night. He will be like a tree firmly planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in its season. And its leaf does not wither, and whatever he does, he prospers. The wicked are not so. They are like chaff. So think of dried up corn residue being blown across the streets of Henry County after harvest. Dried up chaff, which the wind drives away. Therefore, the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will have everlasting life, will not perish, but have everlasting life. Perish, will not perish. Do not be like these. Seek the commander's approval. When each individual soldier responds to the enemy's attacks in this way, when you submit therefore to God, resist the devil, he will flee from you. But when you give yourself over to the ways of evil and you forsake God's ways of going about your business, then you're setting up an ambush for your own life. Follow God's paths. When each individual soldier responds to enemy's attacks in this way, it's reflexive, it's instinctive, it's habitual. You just know I'm going to submit to God. No matter what happens, I'm going to submit to God. No matter how dangerous it looks, no matter how compromising it looks to our financial stability, to our reputation, to whatever, no, I'm going to go back and do it God's way. Because God has never forsaken me. God will never forsake me. God has always provided for me. God will always provide for me. I will follow his ways. I will not manipulate the situation. I will not give in to the ways of the world to make this come about the way I think it should come about. I will not try to do an end game on God. I will trust the sovereign God. I will trust his ways, and I will listen to the Spirit, and I'll be the way of the peacemaker. I'll be the way of the reconciler. I'll be the way of Jesus. I will remain humble and gentle in heart because that is the heart of God. And when I am in the easy yoke of Jesus, I am becoming like him and not like the world. Because let's be honest, we've experienced this. How much anxiety and fear and worry and concern is weighing us down in the world. But we should commit ourselves like good soldiers of Jesus and not be weighed down by all these civilian affairs. Focus. I believe, just like my Ranger school training and all my infantry training and airborne schools and air assault schools and all that stuff that I got to do when I was in the military, I believe that when you're trained according to the Word of God and the Spirit of God, you will respond with faith. You will just instinctively, habitually, and reflexively know to resist the devil. But you got to know the Word of God. And you got to be walking in the Spirit so you know the voice of God. And that takes us to step number four, the last step. Live on mission. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you've got to know the field manual. Brothers and sisters, we need to know the field manual. I'm just looking at one book, the book of Proverbs, applying 2 Timothy 2, 1 through 4 as a interpretive lens to the book of Proverbs. That's all I'm doing. You can do this for every book of the Bible, all 66. You got to know the field manual. You got to know what God expects of you, why he enlisted you. You got to recognize you're a part of a unit. You're not a lone ranger. You're not Rambo. We don't need that kind of toxic viewpoint in the room. We're in this together. Okay? And we need to all work together for the approval of one, not each other. Can I just say this? I'm not seeking your approval. I'm seeking his. And we are not seeking each other's. We're seeking his. And we will be unified and on mission when we're seeking the preeminent God's approval and not each other's. That doesn't mean we shouldn't be pleasing to one another, though, because when we're pleasing to him, we will be pleasing to one another, even when we're having to admonish one another. We need to live on mission. The proper execution of this battle drill of resisting the enemy, of responding to direct contact, it will place each and every one of us in the covered position. Now, here's a basic soldier thing. There's a difference between cover and concealment, right? Concealment will hide you, but it won't protect you. Because a direct shot will go right through bushes. This is a basic thing we learned right away. Cover and concealment are two different things. Cover will stop direct contact from hitting you. Concealment may hide you, but it won't protect you. It may obscure the enemy from seeing you, but it won't protect his attack if he lays fire on you. You need to be covered. And there's a covering for you. And that is being in the Father's will. When you are submitting to God and when you are putting yourself into the will of your commander, then you are behind cover. And that's what you do. When you come under attack, the way you respond to direct contact by the enemy is you immediately find cover, and then what do? Every infantryman knows this. You find cover, and you return fire. You just do it. That's what you do. You don't think about it. It's instinctive. It's reflexive. It's habitual. If I come under attack, I hit the ground, I find cover, and I start returning a base of fire. Jesus gave us an example of this. Go with me to Matthew 4. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Watch Jesus do the battle drill. When Jesus came under direct contact with the enemy, this is during his 40 days in the wilderness. Matthew 4, 1 through 11. And yes, we're pulling towards the finish line. You're doing a good job. I'm proud of all you. Then Jesus was led up by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness. So pay attention. Who's leading Jesus there? It's God. God is leading Jesus here, okay? Okay. Then Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. And after he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, he then became hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God." Book of Deuteronomy. Then the devil took him into the holy city and had him stand on the pinnacle of the temple. And he said to him, "If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you. And on their hands they will bear you up so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "On the other hand, it is written, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, Deuteronomy. Verse 8, again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms in the world in their glory. And he said to him, "All these things I will give you if you fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Go, Satan, for it is written, You shall worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Deuteronomy again. Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and began to minister to him. As we conclude today's message, I want you to learn two things from how Jesus reacted to enemy contact. First, this is application here. Ready? First, Jesus took cover in the will of his Father for his 40 days in the wilderness. The Holy Spirit led him there to be tempted by the devil according to the scripture. So Jesus faced the will of God through 40 days and nights of fasting. Jesus fasted in preparation for the will of his Father. In his ministry, Jesus never hid from the Father's will. Jesus didn't shrink away from the cross. He prayed. He sweat blood. And he pleaded with his Father. But he was tenacious to accomplish the mission. Jesus never evaded the will of his Father, even unto death on the cross. And that's because Jesus' purpose for coming, why he died on the cross, it was all for his Father's pleasure. It was all to be submissive. It was all to demonstrate the glory of God's good plans for humanity. Jesus didn't shrink away from the challenge. He prepared himself for the challenge. He took cover in the Father's will. He fasted. He prepared himself. And that's what I want you to do. I want you to be trained up. That could look like fasting. It could look like prayer. It could look like Bible study. It could look like gathering with your local church once a week. It could look like coming to Wednesday night prayer service. It could look like all those things. It could look like daily quiet times in the morning before you go to work. It could look like daily worship times before you go to bed at night. It could be all those things. But how are you preparing yourself to fulfill the will of the Father in your life? You are called to be on mission, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that God commanded you to do. That is the Great Commission, Matthew 28, 18 to 20. That is your battle cry. How are you intentionally preparing yourself? How are you taking cover so that enemy attack cannot hit you? And I would say you need to be prayed up. You need to fast. You need to get in the Word of God. You need to be a part of the church and gather on a regular basis. Form a small group where you can study the Bible together. Go deep. Be prepared. Make your household a place of worship. Put scriptures on the walls. Pray for one another. Listen to Christian music. Read godly books. Watch The Chosen and other godly materials. Prepare your heart and mind. And the second thing Jesus did, Jesus not only took cover in his Father's will, he not only prepared himself, he returned fire. He returned a base of fire on that enemy who was making contact with him. How did he do it? He kept quoting scripture. He kept quoting scripture. He quoted Deuteronomy 3 times. We do not fight with the weapons of flesh. We pray. We love. We read scripture. We recite scripture. Scripture and God's promises tear down those strongholds. There's power in the Word of God. There's power in the blood of Jesus. So when Jesus came under direct attack, he took cover and he returned fire, just like every soldier who's ever served in the military has been taught to do, instinctively, habitually, and reflexively under any stressful condition, including their own exhaustion and mental fatigue and physical fatigue. Because we all know that the classic triggers are hunger, anger, loneliness, and tired, fatigue. Halt, H-A-L-T. When you're hungry, angry, lonely, or tired, you are susceptible to temptation. My recipe for that is it's impossible to keep you from ever getting hungry, angry, lonely, or tired. You're human. Sorry, I can't stop you from being human. But I can help you train yourself so that when you are hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you still respond like a Christian and not like a sheep who gives him or herself over to animal instincts and said, well, I was just angry, so blah. I was just lonely, so blah. I was just tired, so. You need to train yourself so when the enemy attacks, when you're hungry, angry, lonely, tired, you have a habitual, reflexive, instinctual response, which is taking cover in the will of the Father and returning fire. That's why we memorize Scripture. That's why we did the Promises of God series last year. We memorize Scripture so you have something to return fire with. This is the battle drill of resisting the enemy. Jesus conducted this battle drill so that, and this is my conclusion here, Jesus resisted the enemy so that he could carry on the mission of God. Matthew 4. What happened right before this? Jesus publicly submitted himself to the Father in baptism, right? First step. Always submit yourself to the Father. Matthew chapter 3, verses 13 to 17, we see Jesus submitting himself to the Father through baptism. Then, Matthew 4, 1 through 11, he's sent in the wilderness to be tempted. He takes contact. He takes cover in the Father's will. He returns fire. Why? Matthew 4, verse 12 through Matthew 28, verse 20. The rest of the book is the mission of God. This gospel is not 28 chapters of Jesus submitting, you know, showing Jesus submitting to God and then taking enemy contact and that's it. It's Jesus submitting to God, resisting the devil so that he can accomplish the mission. Does that make sense? Matthew 4, verse 12, all the way through Matthew 28, verse 20. Yes, there's enemy attack. Yes, there's places where Jesus shows that submission, but the whole rest of the book is Jesus on mission. In the same way, you are commanded to demonstrate your allegiance to the commander by being baptized in the name of the one who has enlisted you, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. You must bow the knee to Jesus. If you have not yet submitted your life to Jesus by confessing your sin to him and asking him to be your Lord and Savior, if you have not yet followed him through baptism, then your life is not yet submitted to the commander in the way that Jesus himself commanded it to be. And that in itself becomes a distraction and a hindrance to your authority over the enemy who wants to devour you. You cannot expect the devil to flee from you if you have only given lip service to submit therefore to God. The Bible says, submit therefore to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. That's it. If you're only giving lip service to submitting therefore to God, you can say, devil, get behind me all day long, and he ain't going anywhere because you have no authority to get rid of him. Only a soldier who is submitted to the commander will execute successfully, because there's only one thing that God rewards. It's faith is the only thing God rewards, and that's what this is all about. As a good soldier of Jesus Christ, you will come under attack. Please don't be naive. Please don't think this is a bunch of supernatural in today's modernistic 21st century world. I think it's pretty prevalent that there is more to what we are doing and going through than meets the eye. Make this a reflexive, instinctive, habitual part of your life so that you can Charlie Mike, which means continue the mission. Okay? Let's pray. Father God, you have called us to persevere unto the end. You have called us, Lord, to be faithful, even unto death, even death on the cross. And you said that we'll receive a reward for our faithfulness. Well done, good and faithful soldier. Help us, Lord, to live on mission today and to train this battle drill each day of the week for the glory of God. Help us learn. Help us to examine our own lives, Lord, and see if there's any place that we have not submitted to you. Is there a part of our life that we are only giving lip service to being Christians? Are we nominal in some places, Lord? Are we practical atheists where we raise our hands on Sunday but live by our own power the rest of the week? Lord, are there things in our lives that need to be submitted to the commander so that we can walk under the protection of the Holy Spirit and the authority of God's word because we are his in every area of our lives? Lord, is there a place in our life where we're vulnerable to enemy attack? Lord, would you protect us in the shadow of your wing? Would you cover us in those places? Lord, we submit them to you now. And Lord, help us to hide your word in our hearts. Help us to memorize your word so that we can return fire just as Jesus did. All, Lord, so that we can live on mission, seeing souls come into the kingdom, seeing lives transformed to the glory of God, seeing relationships and families and marriages and workplaces reconciled by the grace of God. Father, that is our mission. Our mission is not to survive. Forgive us, Lord, when we make the mission about our own survival, our own prosperity, our own ideas. Father, there's only one mission, and that's to exalt the name of Jesus and to make him known to all people. Lord, help us to live on mission for you. In Jesus' name, amen.